Welcome to the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. Adam Azer, Greg Urbano here on Tuesday, January 18th. We had a late night last night. We stayed up late watching, not together. Yes. That'd be weird. But we did stay up late watching those some very fun basketball games.
Sure
good
did.
Stuff.
Martin Luther King Day, as always, the NBA. A day full of basketball. Certainly a lot of good games yesterday. Plenty to discuss here today.
Yes, and it was a full day of basketball, as you said. And we bring in Matt Moore now, one of our bloggers, for the starting five. Five questions for Matt Moore. And we start with Orlando and Boston. And Orlando loses this game. They did get 13 offensive rebounds, but there was talk during the game from the broadcasters, and there has been talk since they traded Gortat about the lack of size in the Orlando front court. Do you think Orlando needs more size, Matt?
Well, I think that they do for the playoffs. I don't think they need to for the regular season because, I mean, they can go small, right? So, you know, Gilbert Arenas and Jason Richardson and all their shooters, they can definitely go small and be able to eke out enough wins in the regular season. But when playoff time comes and everything starts grinding and you're going to need those fouls, and Dwight Howard has this bad habit of picking up fouls early, they need to have somebody behind them that they can go to be able to keep that system in place. Otherwise, they turn into more of a transition team, and that's just not going to work in the playoffs.
The big question I have is really, can Ryan Anderson also play the role of rebounding and defense that right now we know isn't really his strength? We know what Ryan defense will provide. He'll get you some offensive rebounds throughout the game, which he did a great job of last night, giving them a lot of second-chance opportunities. And he'll also knock down the open jumper. But for the most part, yes, they are lacking that defensive depth on the bench. So right now, you look at, you know, the height as we just put up on the screen, Hedo Turkoglu is 6'10". Who would have thought? He doesn't play like 6'10".
Right.
So it could be a problem later on, especially as we see Boston get healthier in their front court.
Yeah, exactly. And Kendrick Perkins nearing a return in the next couple weeks. So they probably do need a little bit more size for the playoffs. Question number two, Matt, we'll start with you here. Chris Bosh was upset about his ankle injury suffered on Saturday night. Any reason, though, to be upset with Omer Asik for diving for that ball?
No, shut up, Chris. Come on. What, are you kidding me? Seriously? You're upset because a guy's playing hard?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Go away. No.
I agree.
You're supposed to go to the whistle. You're supposed to go to the whistle. Agent's a young guy. He's trying to get minutes. He's in a stacked position. He's going hard. That's what you want from guys. You don't want them slacking off and pulling back. Like, yeah, you don't want to do something reckless. Like, there's a difference. Like, I got all in a huff a couple of years ago when Andrew Bynum put, you know, Gerald Wallace on his backside and ended up busting open his lung. But that was because Bynum clearly didn't have a good understanding of how fast he was moving and his size and what he could do, how much damage he can do. Agent was going for a loose ball. You don't want to get hurt in the legs? Dive for it yourself. Get out of the way. Shut up, Chris.
Yeah, it's exactly. He should have been on the floor diving for that ball, too. That was Chris Bosh's fault. That's a great answer, Matt. Thank you. All right, next question. Greg, yesterday, Dirk Nowitzki scores 32 points, and the Pistons still beat the Mavericks by double digits. Is there a bigger issue here than just the injuries for Dallas?
You would like to say no. You would like it to just be the injuries, but clearly there's something going on here with Dallas recently. Obviously, the Dirk injury got this thing rolling. They still need to find, they need to pick up steam somewhere. Obviously, Caron Butler as well going down. The timing of all this happening right now, not the best. In order for them to win the West, I think you look at their roster now, yes, they have to make a move to do something to bring in a guy who can replace what Caron Butler brought to the team.
Matt, what do you think?
You know, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to adjust. I mean, look, Butler provided a lot, and I think they're going to make a move because that's what Cuban usually does. But this is mostly, they're just getting used to Dirk being back on the floor. They're going through a little bit of a slump, but this team has already showed this season, you know, when Chandler's healthy and Dirk's good, they've got enough depth. I think they're going to be fine in the Western Conference. I think winning is going to be difficult, but I think they're still going to be a top seed and have home court in the first round. I just can't see this much talent with Nowitzki playing at the level that he's been at this season and struggling that much. I think this is a blip on the radar screen.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm not panicking yet for Dallas. They are 8.5 games out of first. They're not going to get that, but they're only a half game out of the three spot right now. They've lost six in a row. Next six games for Dallas: Lakers, Bulls, Nets, Clippers, Rockets, Hawks. So a tough stretch. They have to survive that.
Yeah.
Next question. Matt, we'll start with you. Does Kobe Bryant and director Robert Rodriguez teaming up for a movie sound like a good idea to you? Because it's happening, and I'm not quite sure what this is all about.
You know, it kind of fits in with Brian a little bit because, you know, like, I mean, a couple of years ago he made some headlines. He went to, like, a comic book shop. He's rolling the comics, and it kind of fits in with that whole, like, kind of fringe element, kind of fiction stuff, and the fact that, you know, he picks Black Mamba, which is kind of a cool kind of slide-in thing with Rodriguez's kind of history. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a film that they would team up for. Like, I can't see Brian any sort of, like, grindhouse feature, but he does fit in with some of the characters that Rodriguez has kind of created before, those really anti-hero, not the good guy, but just ends up, like, you know, beating up so many people and killing so many people that you end up loving him. That's very much in line with Brian's whole ethos.
Yeah, I would like to see the main character from Machete in this, throwing knives like he did in Desperado.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it would be interesting. And obviously we saw Kobe make a little bit of an acting debut with the Call of Duty commercial earlier this summer. So, you know, maybe this is where he wants to get into. He's looking past his career as an L.A. Laker.
Sure, and it will be better than the Spike Lee movie.
Certainly that assume that would be. Yes.
All right, last question. Start with you, Greg. Actually, you know what? I'm going to start because the answer is no, in my opinion. Does Vince Carter, who just scored his 20,000th point, belong in the Hall of Fame? I say no, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Not sure at this point. Maybe he gets a ring at some point here at the end of his career, but not likely. Obviously, you looked at the points. He's been a great scorer forever since he's been in this game. We know about the dunk contest and really how he just took over all the fans of the NBA and really, you know, gained the respect of everyone in that dunk contest. But as far as winning in the playoffs, those are the sorts of things you look for in a Hall of Famer, not just a great scorer like Vince Carter.
So your answer is no.
Definitely no.
And Matt, finish it off.
You know, with Carter, I think the things you got to look at, like, has he ever been great at any one thing? It's like, oh, he was a great scorer. Yeah, but he wasn't transcendent. He didn't have, like, a transcendent season in terms of stats. He's not known as a winner. Like, his big claim to fame is one of two things. You either remember him for the dunk contest, or you remember him as being a guy that ends up getting hurt a lot and being really weak in the clutch. I just don't think that makes up the resume of a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree. Matt, thanks a lot for your time. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
That's our CBSSports.com blogger, Matt Moore. Let's move on with the show, Greg, and look at some of the storylines from around the NBA, and then we're going to talk about some of the big games from Martin Luther King Day, and we'll give, of course, our power rankings and today's award that we're giving out, Defensive Player of the Year.
That's right.
And we're going to get to your emails later at CBSIPodcastFeedback@CBS.com. That's for our podcast listeners. All right. Brandon Roy underwent arthroscopic surgery on both of his knees. No timetable for his return there. Kendrick Perkins, as mentioned, looking to return around February 4th, which will be big for the Lakers. The Celtics are big.
Yes.
They got a lot of big guys. A
lot of size.
Yeah, absolutely. Blake Griffin, we got to talk about him because he's pretty good.
A little bit. You know, we've mentioned that he's a decent player. Maybe should be looked at for the All-Star game. Now it's if it wasn't a no-brainer before, I think now it's a no-brainer that he is an All-Star.
Yeah, let's look at his January stats. He's averaging 27.6 points per game, 14.4 rebounds, 4 assists, and this comes, of course, after dropping 47 points in a win over Indiana. And he and the Clippers had a great win in Staples Center over the Lakers, kind of announcing, we're for real, you better take us seriously now. Times are changing in L.A.
That's right, and they beat the Heat. I mean, you're looking at a team right now that is finally getting the collective unit of talent working together. Baron Davis has been healthy and distributing the ball well. You know, you don't expect him to average over 10 assists, but he is doing what he does. Blake Griffin pounding the boards and really just showing, obviously, the athleticism that we know, but he also has some touch in the interior that I don't even think that I knew coming out of college that he was this good around the basket at finishing. To see him progress this much, obviously he put a lot of hard work in last year while he was injured, and it's great to see it paying off this year.
Yeah.
So really the sky's the limit for this team. Let's see what sort of roster they build around Blake Griffin in the years to come.
Now, we will talk about whether or not he deserves to be treated as a rookie next time we look at the Rookie of the Year standings, because you can make a case that he shouldn't be. Yeah. Looking at the standings in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, 1-8 in the East, Boston, Miami, Chicago, Atlanta, Orlando, New York, Philadelphia, Indiana with Charlotte on the outside looking in along with Milwaukee and a host of other teams. In the Western Conference, the Spurs are 5 games up on the 2 seed, the Lakers, followed by Oklahoma City and Utah with the same record at 3-4. Dallas a half game back in the 5 spot. New Orleans, Denver, and Portland finish it off. And then 2.5 games back, you've got Memphis and Phoenix. And there are some teams that are streaking right now. New Jersey has lost 6 straight. Let me ask you this. Right now, the Nets are 14th out of 15 teams in the East. They are 7.5 games out of the playoffs. If they get Carmelo Anthony before the end of January, are they going to make the playoffs?
Wow, that's a really good question. Personally, I don't think so, because obviously when you trade to get a Carmelo, you are giving up a lot of pieces.
There's no way. If they get Billups, if they get Anthony, if they get Hamilton, they're going to have such a great second half. to make the playoffs.
It's the Eastern Conference, so it could happen.
There's five teams ahead of them before we even get to the eighth spot.
Yeah.
There's no way.
It's going to be tough, but as I was going to say, when you trade for someone as good as Melo, you give up a lot of pieces. Chances are that team immediately is not going to be a very good team.
All right, other streaks. New Orleans has won five straight. The Pistons have won three in a row.
That's right.
And Coach John Cuser, he has Tracy McGrady now starting at point guard. And Greg Monroe, speaking of Rookie of the Year watch, obviously everybody's going to be second to Blake Griffin. But Greg Monroe's playing very well, averaging 12 points, 9 rebounds in January. And the Pistons are playing some good basketball, of course, coming off that win over Dallas. Right. Cleveland is horrible. They've lost 13 straight. And Phoenix, last team I want to mention, they've won three in a row, 2.5 games behind Portland for the eighth seed and tied with Memphis. Ready to look at yesterday's games?
Absolutely. Big day of basketball.
Start with that Chicago game. Yep. The Bulls go to Memphis without Joakim Noah, without Carlos Boozer, and they still win 96-84. Great performance for Derrick Rose. He didn't shoot all that well. He was 7 of 20, but he had a triple-double. And they beat the Heat on Saturday, and then this win on the road. They're playing great.
I was very surprised to learn that it was Derrick Rose's first triple-double. You know, it's something that you just figured, okay, he's going to have one from time to time. Obviously, you know he's going to have the assists every now and again. He saw that Boozer and Noah were both out. He stepped up the rebounding portion of his game. This is what makes Derrick Rose so amazing, is that he's able to do well every portion of the basketball game. He plays defense well. He rebounds well. He can, of course, pass the ball and score as good as any point guard we've ever seen, probably. And the way that he jumps and his athleticism, it's something to behold. So really, to see the Bulls thrive without those two big men really makes you look at Derrick Rose and say he needs to be in your top three or top five for the MVP candidate this year.
But this was the Bulls' starting lineup yesterday. It was Rose, Deng, Taj Gibson, Kurt Thomas, and Keith Bogans. And they still went to a good Memphis team. Yeah. Memphis looked a little, you know, it's an early start. That happens sometimes in matinees.
Absolutely.
They looked a little out of it, but great performance by the Bulls. And they lead the league in opponent field goal percentage. Two other games to talk about, the night games on TNT. And Boston beating Orlando 109-106. Celtics shooting 60%. Now, I watched this game, and Orlando, this is a bad loss for them, in my opinion, because you're trying to measure up against the best teams, and the Celtics were finally fully healthy, except no Kendrick Perkins.
Yep.
Kevin Garnett had five fouls. Shaquille O'Neal had five fouls, and yet the Magic couldn't take advantage. The Magic had 13 offensive rebounds. I don't know how they lost this game, and I can't believe that they allowed a team to shoot 60%.
Yeah, you look at the stats of that game, and really Orlando should have had it. At the end of the game, I think what you saw was the difference in these two teams and the reason why Boston wins and Orlando doesn't with the close games. Boston has multiple options for clutch shots. If Ray Allen is not there to hit a three or to come through with free throws, Paul Pierce is able to get his man in the air, take the foul, and hit the shot at the same time and making a three-point play on his own. So the amount of clutch players that Boston has right now, it surpasses everyone, and especially Orlando, a team that struggled to find that guy at the end of the game to take the shot.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Turkoglu.
Seems that way, and obviously he's streaky in those moments, so that's always going to be a question mark for them.
Yeah, that's a good point you make, though. And then finally, the Lakers over the Thunder, 101-94, 21 points each from Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol, and it was a really good first half. The Lakers opened up a 15-point lead in the third quarter. Thunder come all the way back. But the Lakers, this was just kind of like a business-like win for them. They've been playing a lot of games. I think this was their sixth game in 9 days. Yeah. Maybe they were a little bit tired. Even Phil Jackson said Kobe got a little bit tired at the end of the third quarter. But they just went and did their business, and it looks like they're back.
This is the Laker team. We know what they are. They will have lulls throughout the season. They'll have portions in which they don't play seemingly as hard as we think they should. But then you slap them in the face. You have something like Blake Griffin and Lamar Odom getting into little scrap, and it re-energizes this team. It refocuses them into what the goal is, and that's to win every night, not to win the championship now in January, which you cannot do, as we know.
You cannot do that.
No.
You cannot win it. You have to win it in June,
yes,
as they say. Now, the Thunder are, I think, one piece away from being a championship contender, and that piece is a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
They were 2 for 22 last night. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA, and they need a floor spacer, and they just don't have it. I want to see them be active and try to get something before the end of the season, because I think the West is pretty open right now.
It is.
I think that the Thunder have a chance if they can just get a better outside shooter.
I think maybe James Harden was the guy they thought that would fill that role. He's actually more athletic than I think they thought, and plays a little bit more of a different game than they envisioned him being a spot-up shooter, which he's clearly not.
All right, whose power rankings should we do first?
We'll start off with mine because they're usually right.
Yeah, no, I actually am looking forward
to yours.
You
can look at yours. Okay.
Now, ours are very different this week.
And
I think we have the same five teams, but the order is different. But I think it's because I took a different philosophy than you did. But go ahead.
Okay. At number one, I don't think there's any reason or any team that someone could say is playing better than the San Antonio Spurs at this time. The big three all doing what they do. But the person I look at is Matt Bonner, really playing that X factor, knocking down the open shot whenever he gets it, and it happens often. So he's really been great for them this year and just propelling them to be even better than we thought. Number two, Boston Celtics. Now, obviously, just now getting Garnett back. We haven't even seen them full strength. As you've mentioned, Kendrick Perkins has not played yet. When they are at full strength, this team is going to be scary. Number three, the Los Angeles Lakers. Back into form, playing the way we thought they would. And then we have Orlando underneath them at number four. The reason I have Orlando above Miami right now is that obviously when Miami's fully healthy, I do expect them to be a better team than Orlando.
You can't tell me that the Heat are the fifth best team in basketball.
Right now. Again, right now.
If it started today and everybody was injured maybe, but come on. That's the difference between our power rankings. I didn't take that approach.
Yeah, I'm taking in that, you know, this week I feel the Magic deserve to be ahead of the Heat based on what they've done.
Okay.
So if you look at the Heat when they are fully healthy, I do believe they're a better team than the Magic. But
not
right
just
now,
better than the Magic,
at this
buddy.
This part of the season, the Magic are playing better basketball.
Only because of all the injuries. So that's the thing.
Yes.
I didn't want to keep redoing the power rankings and every week have a new team at the top. So I was actually going to put the Heat number one, but they are in a three-game losing streak. So the Spurs, number one, best record in basketball at 35-6. Best point differential in basketball, but just barely better than the Miami Heat, almost dead even. The Heat are number two for me. So I go San Antonio, then Miami. Remember, two of those losses came without LeBron James. Chris Bosh was injured against the Chicago Bulls. They play the Hawks tonight on Tuesday. We'll see who plays. Number three, I got the Celtics. Kevin Garnett's finally healthy. They're two games up on the Heat. They have the second-best record in basketball at 31-9. The Lakers are number four, but they keep on moving up. What I like about the Lakers, third in the NBA in opponent field goal percentage. They have won 8 out of 9. And then the Magic. Why did I put the Magic over the Bulls? Because the Bulls are actually two games better in the standings than the Magic. And the Bulls have not been healthy all season. There have been very few games where they have been entirely healthy, or at least with their important players. One of those games where they had Boozer, and they had Noah, and they had Rose was against the Orlando Magic, and they got killed at home in Carlos Boozer's debut. So that's why I put the Magic ahead of the Bulls. I still think they're a better team. Yeah. And, you know, same with the Hawks, the same with the Thunder, and same with the Jazz, and even the Mavericks. So those are our top five.
Now, to go back to the Heat real quick, the reason why I look at, obviously, we know what the big three is capable of doing. What are the guys around them doing? Right now, the role players are not playing those roles as they should. And if you look at Orlando, and if you look at the Lakers, and in particular, if you look at San Antonio, their role players are doing what they're supposed to do. So when you get into the playoffs, you know that Matt Bonner is going to be there to hit those threes. You know that Juwan Blair is going to be there to get the offensive rebounds. With the Miami Heat, it's a question mark every single night as to who else will show up outside of the big three. And that, to me, leaves them a little more vulnerable in playoff situations.
Who else needs to show up?
In the playoffs, they're going to need
and
to
that's
show
the thing
up.
About
if you
the
really
Heat.
Think that with only the big three and no other contributions, if you think the bench or the guys around the big three can only score 10 or 15 and still have them beat these top five teams, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's possible they don't need to have big offensive contributions. They need to have defensive contributions
and rebounding
contributions from the other guys. What I think, hopefully, the Heat can build on Mike Miller, who came out a little bit in that game on Saturday against the Bulls. Hopefully he can get going. He has been really completely non-existent this year. So, they do need that. And that's a good point. But the Heat, when the playoffs start and when the games really count, the Heat take it up to another level.
That's why the power rankings at this portion of the season, I feel like until those guys prove that they can be the supply around the main three, then
whatever.
As of right now, I don't
see
that.
You know the Heat are better than
role.
Fifth. You know it. You know
we'll
your power
see.
Rankings.
I'd like to think so, but we'll see.
Moving on, we're going to look at the Defensive Player of the Year awards, and I hope this segment isn't too boring because we have the same five guys. But you can start.
No, we actually don't have the same five.
We have four
of the same five.
Right? Okay, good. So be exciting.
All right, but I think at number one, it's pretty much null and void every year. You know who's going to be there if he's healthy, and that is of course Dwight Howard. Of the Orlando Magic. We know that he's the biggest shot-blocking presence. Right now, he's not leading the league in shot-blocking, but he changes more shots by his opponents than anyone else in the league. So if you look at Dwight, number two is, for me, it's Andrew Bogut, who actually is leading the league in blocks at 2.8 per game. Really, this year, with the elbow problems coming off of last year, it was a question as to how physical is he going to play, and he hasn't let the elbow distract him at all. He's played very physical and actually been blocking shots, as we said, at a better rate than anybody in the league right now. Tyson Chandler has redefined the way the Dallas Mavericks play defense just by being there. His presence, his energy, and really just the fact that he plays that way just rubs off on his teammates. And as you see, Dallas this year has been a much better defensive team.
It's like you're stealing my notes here, Urbano.
The fourth player that I have here is Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat at
6'4". This is incorrect.
Blocks shots really as good as any guard as we've ever seen, as we know. And obviously hustles, filling the passing lanes, doing all the little things, diving for loose balls, all the things that the Heat need out of their superstar players who easily could coast for 82 games. And at number five, I've Kevin Garnett. This is a player who, when he's there, redefines the way his team plays basketball. And obviously, we saw that last night. Really in the end of the game, Kevin Garnett comes up with a big steal. KG is just always a great defensive presence. So to me, he's got to be here in this list.
So let's look at my top five now. Very similar. I do have Dwight Howard number one. He is clearly the most dominating defensive presence in basketball. I have Andrew Bogut number two. Milwaukee gives up the third least amount of points in the league. And he, as Greg said, leads the NBA in blocks 2.8 per game. And for the same reasons that you have Tyson Chandler at three, I have Tyson Chandler at three. LeBron James. You have Dwayne Wade four. I have LeBron James four. I do think James is a better defensive player. I think it's a tough case to make because James' blocks are down and his steals are down, but the Heat are so good on defense, and both Wade and James are a big part of it. James, to me, is a really good help defender. He is the one that's better at getting in the passing lanes, starting fast breaks. So I went with James.
In your opinion, yes.
in my opinion. But yeah, Dwayne Wade is a good pick. And then, yeah, number five, Greg yelled at me before the show for stealing his number five because it's Kevin Garnett. But I said, you know what, you can say Kevin Garnett, and I'll say Kevin Garnett. I'm actually going to throw out a cool stat about Kevin Garnett. Celtics, in the 9 games that he didn't play, they went 6-3. They gave up 94.1 points per game. With him, 91.8. So 2.3 points better defensively with Kevin Garnett.
That's a huge margin.
That's pretty big.
I was looking for a bigger margin.
Oh, no, that's pretty significant.
It is significant when you think of NBA games coming down to literally these last second shots very often.
Come on, man. That's a great stat.
It's a pretty good stat.
Thank you.
I'll give you 1 point for
give
that.
Give me something. Give me something. All right, let's look at our emails. And again, our email address to send them in, cbsipodcastfeedback@cbs.com. That's the letter I, cbsipodcastfeedback@cbs.com. From Brandon in New York, he says, if you had to build a team to win a title in the next 3 years, who's your power forward?
Wow. Yeah. Wow, the power forward position.
Loaded position.
Let's look. So if you look at the top of the list, probably Dirk Nowitzki's up there somewhere.
Next 3 years.
Man, Amar Stoudemire's got to be up there somewhere. Whether or not you feel Tim Duncan's a power
forward. No, he's not. He's center.
Even he, at this part of his career, because he's such a winner, would be tough not to choose. Personally, though, I want a guy who plays the power forward position as a power forward. Rebounding, shot blocking, somewhat strength. Dunking, to me, that right now is Blake Griffin. There's
next
no one better
years.
Right now.
He's better than
in
Dirk.
The next 3 years. Well, obviously, Dirk is going to score more. He's going to be more of a clutch player towards the finish. But as I even said with Blake earlier, the fact that he's scoring at the rate that he's scoring and finishing the way he's finishing, I don't see any reason not to think he's going to get even better over the next 2 or 3 years. So for me right now, I put Blake Griffin on top. Obviously, Amar'e Stoudemire would be another great choice, but rebounding the ball is something that I want my power forward to do. I want him averaging over 10 rebounds.
Stoudemire would be a good choice. He's around 9 rebounds per game. Yeah. He is second in the league in scoring right now. Of course, he plays for a very fast-paced offense, but he's a sieve defensively. Even though he's blocking a lot of shots, he's a terrible defender. I honestly don't know how good of a defender Blake Griffin is. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dirk Nowitzki is not a great defender. Yeah. You've got LaMarcus Aldridge in the discussion. He's having a terrific season. Kevin Love is obviously in discussion. There are so many good power forwards. But I would still go with Dirk Nowitzki. It's either Nowitzki or Griffin. Yeah. And I could definitely be wrong about this one over the next 3 years. But I still go with Dirk. The guy is so good. Yeah. And somehow I think Dirk is underrated.
It's true. That's true. Right. People don't appreciate a power forward who really doesn't play the power forward game.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing with him.
But everybody's looking for a stretch four.
Yeah.
He's the original.
The original.
Or the best.
The prototype.
At least, yeah. Next question comes from Denise in Seattle. Sean Kemp became a trending topic on Twitter earlier this week.
That he did.
What other former player do you feel deserves some Twitter love?
The Rain Man. One of my favorite players. I had his jersey. I had his poster up in my room. One of the best of all time. Personally, me, I miss a guy who used to sell a cologne. You want to smell like me? George Mearsan certainly needs to be on TV somewhere.
So tweet it.
A reality TV show, whether it's really just having his own just network. George Mearsan needs to be on television, and I will tweet it later this day to see if I can get that to be a trending topic.
Let's get George Mearsan. Let's get Mark Eaton.
Yes.
Greg Ostertag.
Wow.
Let's start a reality show with seven-footers.
I could definitely watch that every single day.
By the way, I was watching a Jazz game the other day, and they asked the trivia question for the fans was, who's the best Jazz center of all time? And I believe Greg Ostertag beat out Mark Eaton.
It's very likely that Ostertag. He's a fan.
He had all the success.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
What an interesting topic
of
conversation.
Guy. Yes.
That's it for today's show. We're back next Monday with more NBA talk. It's Greg Urbano. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks a lot, everyone. And send us an email, CBSI podcast feedback at cbs.com.